Hello, good morning, Napa. We're live in the studios, and we are here with you today. We are excited to be... All the microphones on. We are excited to be with you today, and we have a house full of people. It's Thanksgiving, and we have a lot to be thankful for, Napa. We're live in the studio at 1440 a.m., and I know you know that because you're already listening. We love Napa. We love the weather. Oh, my gosh, it's a beautiful day. It's going to be a wonderful turkey week, and we have our guest host today, Dylan Greco.
Hello.
Good morning, Dylan.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
You're getting to be an old ham at this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot at the BMX track, so.
Yeah. So Dylan won this in an auction, and he bid on it and won to be on the radio show. And we asked Dylan to bring a surprise guest that he is thankful for. Who'd you bring, Dylan?
I brought my grandma. No offense to my other grandma, George, by the way, if you're listening.
Okay. So you brought your grandma, June. And June, your last name is Liebig. Okay, so tell me, Dylan, why are you thankful for your grandma today?
I'm thankful because she does a lot of things for me. Like when I ride over, she makes me food.
Well, there you go. I want her as a grandma, too. I mean, the way to a grandkid's heart is food, is the kitchen. Yes.
And for me, it's money also, but.
Yeah, right, right. Okay. Okay, grandma, what do you make for him that he loves?
The only thing he gets is waffles and bacon or mac and cheese.
You know, can't the world live on waffles, bacon, mac and cheese?
I mean, yes.
I think the whole world could live on that, Grandma. You would be my kind of grandma. So I lost all my grandmas. I've lost my mom and dad, my parents. My husband's lost his parents. So we're going to be shopping for an adopt-a-grandma, and you sound like you would fit the bill.
Sure. Come on over.
And so, Dylan, I think you brought your mom with you today. You want to introduce her?
Yeah, I don't think she wants to speak, but...
No? But who is it? What's her name?
Laura Greco.
Laura Greco. And I just found out you guys are all friends with my friend, Joe Greco. That is so cool. So we also are extra blessed today to have the Salvation Army with us. And from the Salvation Army, we have Lieutenant Bridget McCourt.
Good morning.
Hi, Bridget. We have Peter Juve.
Good morning.
Hey, Peter. And Cesar Gomez.
Good morning.
And I know you've got some exciting Thanksgiving programming and Thanksgiving events coming up, and you look forward to the community helping out. So tell me what's going on.
So this week on the docket, of course, is our annual Thanksgiving lunch. Happens on Thanksgiving Day from 11:30 to 1 in our building at 590 Franklin Street. In addition to lunch prepared by the culinary students and served and the dining room prepared by volunteers, we also have more than 700 coats that came in as part of a coat drive. Yeah. So there'll be a tent outside hoping to match a coat with each person that comes so that they have
Bridget.
A warm coat to start the season with.
Okay, now let me ask you this, Bridget. Do you need volunteers?
We do still need a few volunteers. On our Facebook page, there's a sign-up genius for Thanksgiving, and you can see what the available slots are.
Okay, and what do the volunteers do? Help serve, wash dishes?
A little bit of everything. So in the setup phase, which is 8 to 10, we'll be setting up the tables, putting centerpieces on. All of the cooking happens by the students and their instructors, of course, because it's still a class day for them. But anything that might happen in a restaurant, kitchen, or dining room is going to be happening in ours. We serve lunch Monday through Friday, 11:30 to 12:30 anyway. So we have a pretty good base for what we're doing. Thanksgiving, Christmas, any of these community lunches We just triple the attendance, which we love.
So about how many come for lunch on Thanksgiving? This is Thanksgiving Day?
It's on Thanksgiving Day.
Thanksgiving Day, you feed the city lunch.
We do.
Girl.
We alternate with...
You know, I stress over feeding five family members. You're feeding the whole dang city.
So we alternate with the table of doing it on Thanksgiving. So last year was theirs on Thanksgiving. Ours was the day before. And this year we are on Thanksgiving. And we're expecting somewhere around 500.
500 people. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, we'll put my hubby and I and my son down. We'll come and be there and help.
Excellent.
Yes. We'll come help set up and have lunch and greet everybody and hug necks and welcome people. Yes. Oh, my gosh. So let me ask you, Peter, I know you work with Salvation Army. You're an advisory board member, and you are an amazing asset in our community. Tell me, why do you support this lunch? I mean, why do you help? It's Thanksgiving Day. Why are you there?
You know, we are so blessed to have our officers here. They never get the day off, you know. So Bridget talked a little bit.
Welcome to ministry.
There you go. And that's precisely what they do. Not only do they feed the community Monday through Friday, but they have services on Sunday with also a breakfast beforehand. Being around people like that are constantly given is just a source of strength for me. And it's a great example of how, as an individual, we need to live, you know, providing some empathy for all of us and those in our community that need a helping hand up. Is just, I find, very encouraging with how to live on a daily basis.
Absolutely. What a blessing. And then Caesar, you are Caesar Gomez. Good morning, Caesar.
Good morning,
You were
Doris.
On my TV show.
I was, actually.
Okay. And tell me, Caesar, how long have you been serving with the Salvation Army?
I've been serving here in Napa, actually, since January 26th. And I haven't left.
Oh,
it's exciting to serve in the Army.
It is, especially when you can serve in Napa.
Right, and the community is so small and intimate that it's much easier. You know, you don't get lost in the crack, so it's pretty
Absolutely.
Exciting.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a great community, and it's great people, and we have a good vibe going on here in Napa.
I agree, that makes it much easier for a person like myself. So, yeah, pretty exciting.
Okay, and so this will be your first Thanksgiving with us.
It is. It's exciting. It's somewhat, during scripture this morning, it just reminded me to be courageous. Courageous, be courageous during these seasons and being able to serve and having the opportunity to do so.
Tell me what is your favorite part of Thanksgiving dinner?
Gathering with others, you know, being thankful and being reminded that have an opportunity to be thankful every day.
Okay, could you be a little more worldly? What food is your favorite food?
You know, it's turkey, of course. It's
turkey.
Dark meat. Uh-huh. I love the dark meat. Yeah, yeah, it's
okay.
Exciting for me. No gravy, just the meat.
Okay, Bridget, what's your favorite food?
That's actually one of the things that we've talked about, because after Thanksgiving dinner at the Salvation Army, we'll gather with the students in this session and do kind of a Friendsgiving, sort of a Thanksgiving with friends. And I've encouraged them to bring the one thing from their Thanksgiving that we probably aren't serving at the Salvation Army. And so for me, that'll be lefse.
That'll be what?
Lefse.
Where did you leave your suh? You left your suh?
It is Norwegian, and
it was Scandinavian.
Yeah,
kind of like
it looks a little like a tortilla. So if you try and describe it in the grocery stores locally, they will direct you towards the flour tortillas or the corn tortillas. But it's made out of potatoes, flattened, and you put butter and sugar and cinnamon on it, and you roll it up.
How can you go wrong with butter, sugar, and cinnamon?
See what I mean? So you just have to be willing to try it.
Okay. So, Peter, what's your favorite food and your favorite part of Thanksgiving?
Well, this is a little non-traditional for this part of the world, but I grew up in South Texas on the Mexican border, and around this time, tamales are a big...
Oh, tamales.
big, big, big meal. And from here on through the Christmas season, tamales are my favorite.
Okay. Okay. So let me slip over there and talk to Grandma. Grandma, are you cooking a traditional dinner?
Oh, yes. I tried to get out of it, but somebody said, no, they're coming.
Even though
she's fixing one later.
Yeah, so you're going to make a traditional dinner. How many will you have over?
Eight of us.
Eight. Oh, that's perfect.
That's plenty.
Oh, it's a perfect size with turkey and all that.
Right.
So what's your favorite food, Grandma? And we're talking to Dylan's grandma, and her name is June Liebig.
Turkey and dressing.
Okay, that's your favorite part?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, tell me, what's your dressing?
Oh, the dressing is bread, celery, onions, lots of onions.
Traditional?
With eggs, you know, mix it all together.
Okay, okay. Turkey broth or chicken broth or something?
No.
Yeah,
because the bread you soak in water.
Oh, you soak the bread in water. Okay, that's your best. Okay, Dylan.
When she says traditional, she literally means traditional.
Okay, what does that mean to you? What's traditional mean to you?
Like what they first made for Thanksgiving, kind of.
Which is?
Pretty much everything she just said.
And what's your favorite thing, if you can only have one of those things?
Stuffing. So I could stuff my stomach with food.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, so stuffing is my favorite, and I mix it half and half, cornbread and white bread. You know, mixed half and half. And then I add dried cranberries and pounds of sausage that I brown up the sausage and add the sausage to it. So I make the old Southern stuffing that we made in the South when I was growing up. Okay, so Julie Hamilton is here with us, and Julie Hamilton is my knight in shining armor. She gets all this going, gets us together, and I know we've got some Christmas things happening right now on Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, yeah, we sure do. I'm so excited to be here, and, you know, these are from Craig Smith, sent these over from downtown Napa. The Christmas events we have going on. We had a tree lighting, which is coming up the 27th. I thought it was after Thanksgiving, but it's not. It's Wednesday.
Well, it's
Wednesday.
It's Wednesday the 27th.
Yeah. 6:00 p.m. at Veterans Memorial Park. And then, of course, we have the parade coming on Saturday. So it's always the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The date is November 30th at 5:00. And it's just such a fun parade because everything's lit up and it's at dark. And it's like kind of like the electric parade at Disney, but not quite. But same concept, you know.
So on the tree lighting, is on Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And that's when we'll light the giant tree at Veterans Park. And it's from 6 to 8 p.m. And there'll be some booths out there. There's usually like hot chocolate and some things. And then there's some people who sing and, you know, the mayor speaks. It's kind of just a traditional, beautiful, traditional event at Veterans Park. It's usually very cold because it's already dark, so wear your jackets. And then, of course, we have Thanksgiving the next day. And then on Friday, that's a really, really important day. On Friday is when we're so stuffed and so full we have to take naps. But I have my biggest check mark on my bucket list being done this Friday after Thanksgiving, and I want to tell the world because I am so gut-busting excited. I am finally going to the Trans-Siberia Orchestra.
Ooh.
And that has been on my bucket list for 15, 16, 17 years. And every time I go to buy tickets, you know, they're $200 a piece. And there's just no way. I mean, I just, you know, I could write you that check. I'm not going to write a check to go see an orchestra. But I was able to get on an early bird special and all kinds of things. And so anyway, I'm gut-busting excited. But then the big, big thing on Saturday, as Julie mentioned, is our Christmas parade. Dylan, Are you coming to the Christmas parade?
I might actually be in the Christmas parade with North Bay BMX.
Oh, dang. How are you going to put lights on your bike?
I guess I'm going to have to find that out.
Yeah, you'll have to get, because they have like some battery lights. You could twist those all around your bike. Were you thinking you're going to ride your bike in the parade?
Yeah.
Okay. Dang, that'll be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the Christmas parade, are you doing a truck or something?
It is our intent to have the canteen in the Christmas parade.
Have it all dolled up with lights.
Yep. I had put our application to be mailed, and our outgoing mail didn't go out. So I need to beg for a late entry, because Friday was the last day to enter.
Oh, I tell you, well, we need to beg, borrow, and steal and get you in there and see if we can make that happen. If you are in the Christmas parade, when and where do you need help decorating the canteen?
Well, that I hadn't really considered yet. The canteen has lights, some lights of its own, obviously.
Right, but it needs Christmas lights all stringed around. Yeah. Okay, so I interrupted you right there, Julie. I think you had more on your list about Christmas.
Well, we have a couple awesome things coming up, too, later on. One of them, which I didn't know about, but I had actually tuned into 1440 AM one day and heard Ira C. Smith and Craig Smith talking about this, but it is the Tuba Christmas.
Okay, so yeah. Stop right there. It is insane. It is the coolest.
Yeah.
It is the coolest thing. We go every year. It's like at what time? 2 o'clock?
It's at 2 to 4, from 2 to 4 on December 7th.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So on December 7th at 2, all of the tuba players have these giant tubas. I mean, the size of your bathroom. And they're out there, and they're hooting and tooting for Jingle Bells or whatever, Silent Night. And it is it's hysterical.
Yeah, and it's like you think about tuba. I was thinking, like, how many tubas, you know?
Oh, yeah, there's like 20 tubas down there.
Yeah, that's what they said. But I've heard it's so fun to go. So we should go. And then, of course, the exciting thing is we have trolley rides throughout the city. So they're on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays from 3 to 6 o'clock. And how fun for just to be able to go and jump on the trolley. I mean, the kids love it. My kids have loved going on that. And such a fun thing to do.
It is a fun thing. And then we also have the Christmas trolley. Yeah. And so the Christmas trolley is at night. You hop on the Christmas trolley at the Copia. And you hop on the Christmas trolley. They serve you hot chocolate and a cookie. And then you wrap up in blankets. And they take you all around the city and show you all the lights.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. That sounds
it's
so cool.
It's just so much fun. And we go every year. We have two trolleys lined up for all the foster families, and they'll ride around with their blankets and be able to see all the Christmas lights. So, you know, coming back to what Caesar said. Caesar, you moved here in January, and you said what you loved about our community is that it's close and it's friendly and it's welcoming, and that's what's so cool about Napa. So what do you think about all these things we just talked about?
You know, it gives me more of an excitement to be a part of it when you get to see everybody join together and on the same mindset, you know?
Yeah.
Growing in the community, and just yesterday I went to go and see a movie.
What'd you see?
It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Oh, Mr. Rogers, were you like crying? Oh,
you know what? Not as I expected.
Lean here.
Not as I expected. Maybe just a little small little tear, but it was just a joy to watch and know that I'm in the right community. And I actually ran into a couple of people that I knew. So it's like, it makes it more amazing to just know that we're all together. And
so what's your takeaway from the movie?
Takeaway, you know that we get an opportunity to change, to be grateful for people in our lives, and there's always room for second chances.
Oh, Dylan, have you seen the movie, Julie? Or
yeah, I've seen. Actually, you know, I went to see it I was needing a mom break on Friday, and so I just said to my husband, I'm going to the movies by myself. I went to go see it, and it was so touching. I just it's like therapy for grown-ups.
Yes.
But there were so many moments in the movie that it was so touching. So the next day, my husband said, hey, do you guys all want to go see the movie? And I'm like, yes. I went and saw it again on Saturday. And I think the takeaway that I've walked away from it with seeing it twice now is that, like, what Mr. Rogers did was he made every person feel important. Mm. Every person that he was talking to, like, this is my time with you right now. And I noticed, like, in my own life, sometimes I'm in such a hurry that I fail to just stop and let that person know that they're important in that moment. And it was just such a phenomenal movie. I would encourage everyone to see it. It was so good. So good.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Dylan, have you seen that movie yet?
No, I haven't.
Do you know what it's about?
Nope. Didn't even know it existed.
I think it's a little before your time, right, Mr. Yeah. Rogers? It's a little before your time. Grandma, you know that movie?
No, I don't. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay, so yeah. It turns out that Tom Hanks that is playing the part of Mr. Rogers is the sixth cousin to Mr. Rogers, and he didn't know it when he did the movie, and then his DNA test came back, and he's related to Mr. Rogers. That is so providential and so cool. Okay, so let's swing back over here to Peter on my far end. And Peter, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Of course, you're doing this Salvation Army thing.
Well, hopefully I'll spend a little bit of time early in the morning with the Army, helping them set up. But
okay.
Then, you know, the holidays are always family time for us. So
we'll
be getting together with family, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, kids, and
how
families.
Many will that be?
Well, we'll probably have, you know, close to a dozen.
Close to a dozen.
Yeah, maybe a baker's dozen. Who
a
knows?
Baker's dozen, 13. Okay, and what's your favorite food at Thanksgiving?
Well, I think I mentioned, you know, having my DNA from South Texas, I tend to
tamales.
Like tamales. There you
okay,
go. But I know we're going to be having the traditional feast.
But on the traditional feast, what's your favorite?
I have a brother-in-law that makes a killer cranberry relish that's just to die for.
Is it a raw cranberry relish?
And I don't know what he puts in it, but
okay.
He swears it's from his grandmother, and judging
probably.
By the age of Mike, it's probably from the, you know, 18th century.
Yeah. The days of Jesus.
There you go.
Okay. Bridget, tell me, what's going on? What's the Bridget household like after Thanksgiving? Because obviously you're spending the day with the Army, but then what? You've got kids and family.
Well, on Thanksgiving Day, we'll be at the students' house spending the evening with them. One of the traditions that my husband's family had that we had adopted was we will make Christmas ornaments after dinner. And yeah, so every year we add Christmas ornaments. So we'll bring the students into that tradition. And
the students, you mean the culinary students?
The culinary students,
so
yeah.
So you're going to bring them, fold them into that tradition, and let each culinary student make their own ornament.
Yep. And hopefully the Christmas tree that I ordered will arrive tomorrow. And so that we'll put it up that night so that they can start to decorate their home. Because most of them, not all of them, but most of them are not from the Napa area. And
right,
so they're
right.
spending their first Christmas away from their families.
Oh, yeah.
Which can not only be sad, but it can also be a trigger for relapse. And so we want to do everything that we can to surround the people who might be struggling. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, all of these holidays being rapid succession. Can be really difficult if you are away, and it brings on stress. And if your stress relief has always been to pick up drugs or alcohol, we want to teach them something different.
Oh, Bridget, that is precious. So you're not one and done. Okay, I'm going to go in the Army. I'm going to slap this food around. I'm going to hug necks, and I'm out of here.
No. So my husband and my kids will be there. Caesar and some of the other alumni will be there as well. And so, because I'm not from Napa either, the students and our volunteers are our family. So I'm spending Thanksgiving with my family too.
So how long have you been in Napa? About 2 years?
Just a little over a year in July.
Oh, so you're just new also. Yeah.
So this is my second Napa Christmas.
So tell me, what do you love about Napa?
Echoing what Caesar said, it's the small townness, the fun events, the people that you bump into, the overlap of people that you didn't realize were involved in the same things, where you see people and things like that. I made some notes of things I didn't know were going on or didn't know what day they were going on. We will try and fold some kettles into those things because not only do we need to have kettles out to raise funds to support the programs that we do, but
bring awareness.
But kettles are also traditional to Christmas, and so having them around and involving people in ringing at kettles for some people is part of their Christmas, and we want to give them the opportunity to.
Yeah. So if then speaking of kettles, I'm so excited about this. It's my first time ringing a kettle, so I'm thrilled that Doris is going to be out there and I'm going to be out there. We'll be at Whole Foods on December 6th collecting money for the kettle.
We'll be ringing all day long on December 6th.
Yep.
And I ring every year for my Rotary because my Rotary does a kettle, and I always love ringing the bell and raising money for such a good cause. I've got a specific question to ask you about the donations and what percent comes off on admin. That's a technical question. I'm going to come back to you on that in just a second. But Grandma, tell me, what is the most exciting thing about this holiday season? I mean, it starts at Thanksgiving, goes through Christmas, and we have New Year's. What do you love about all this?
I really don't know. I'm always overwhelmed because...
Overwhelmed? There's so much to do.
My family, we don't really exchange gifts at Christmas.
Okay.
We...
go ahead. We exchange money for Christmas.
That's what we do.
But we play games.
Oh.
We play games for money. And they love it. And
what
my job now is coming up with new games. Anybody
what
got
what
ideas?
Games do you play for money?
I go watch, what is it? Let's Make a Deal. Let's Make a Deal. And I watch what they do, and I kind of mimic some of their...
Oh, my goodness. You are so precious.
I only got two this year. Anybody got ideas?
Okay, I do. I have one for you. Dylan, tell me what's your favorite part about Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and don't say getting gifts and money. That's not allowed.
That's typical.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Probably spending time with family and friends.
Oh, that is precious. And do you get to ride your bike a bunch?
Well, it's winter, so not really. But I try to as much as possible.
Yes, okay.
But sometimes my parents don't allow me to.
Okay. Well, that's what parents do. You know, we're the Debbie Downer on things sometimes. You know, you want to do it, and we're like, yeah, no. Go rake the leaves in the backyard, right? Okay, so... I'm going to come back to you guys because I want to share my deep admiration for the Salvation Army over this admin money. But before I do, I wanted to tell you about two tips from the Gentries. One tip. So one fact and one tip. Okay, so I had this foster child from Texas. So I always take the foster kids and I sit them down at the table and I say, Christmas would not be Christmas if we did not have, you know, and Peter said tamales. Yeah. Christmas would not be Christmas if we did not have your Norwegian dish. What was it?
Lefse.
Yeah, lefse. And Christmas would not be Christmas, Caesar, if we did not have, Thanksgiving would not be Thanksgiving if we did not have, and don't say turkey, mashed potatoes, and gravy. I mean, what's the other thing that you just have to have?
So I don't think we touched up on the leftovers. For me, it's
right? Oh, dang. Yeah. Snap. Oh, my husband and I said yesterday, the only reason for Thanksgiving is leftovers.
Right.
That turkey sandwich the next day. I'm so with you. Yeah. Grandma, Thanksgiving would not be Thanksgiving without...
the family all being there.
Okay.
Every Thanksgiving, we always...
I agree with what she says.
And, but to eat, what food do you have to have for it?
Stuffing.
Stuffing.
Just stuffing.
Okay. And Julie, what is the food you have to have for it to be Thanksgiving?
Well, I don't really care that much about it, but I would say the sweet potatoes that I make are pretty good, but the gingerbread houses the kids decorate after dinner is like our Thanksgiving
thing. That's your
thing.
Traditional yeah, thing. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going around the table, and this boy, new boy in my house, everybody says what y'all have said, and he says, oh, Brussels sprout pie. And it was just silent. Okay, now this is before the craving of Brussels sprouts. Because right now, every restaurant, you know, offers a Brussels sprout with bacon and balsamic vinegar reduction. This is before we were back to eating Brussels sprouts. And he said, Brussels sprout pie. I said, oh, is that some kind of something with cheese and stuff, like an au gratin? And he looked at me like, no, it's a pie. I mean, I said, like a cherry pie? No, it's a Brussels sprout pie. I said, you mean like with sugar? He's like, yeah, it's got a custard, sugar, and it's made with... I'm like, what the heck? He said, every house has Brussels sprout pie for Thanksgiving. I'm like, what the heck? So... I say, okay, because I try not to have too much of a shocked reaction. So I was asking questions, trying to define. I mean, is he really talking about a pie and a pie crust with a, you know? So he leaves. I run to Google. What the heck? There's like a million recipes for Brussels sprout pie. And this town he's from in southern Texas is the Brussels sprout capital of America. And in this town, they have the Brussels sprout pageant and a Brussels sprout queen and a Brussels sprout tea and everything, just like it reminds me of the Gilroy Garlic Festival, you know, where they have garlic ice cream.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to make this boy Brussels sprout pie. I mean, that's what I do because I want everybody to feel like a part of them is at the dinner table. So I go buy all the ingredients. I get everything lined up. And wouldn't you know it, what a blessing and hallelujah. Because Wednesday before Thanksgiving, his family reached out in Texas and they took him back. And we were able to send him back home. They were able to work out the complications. And I didn't have to make it.
I know.
Yeah, I did not make it. The other thing I was going to tell you, Grandma, about your game idea. We do a gift card game. And I have all these $25 gift cards. And I put them in different gift bags. And so all of my kids and grandkids gather for Christmas. And this is our game that we play. We play the gift card game. And everybody picks a number. And then number one goes up and chooses a gift bag. And in the gift card might be Starbucks. And then in another bag is... IHOP. So each number you pick, like when you pick, like you want the highest number because you want to go the lastest, you know. And so if your number is 20, what you can do is you can accept the whatever your number is, except number one is the guy that gets kind of goofed on. But your number 10, and you accept the gift bag, and you're like, oh snap, I don't want a Starbucks gift card. So you look around the room at the first 9 people and you go, I want the IHOP. So you go take their IHOP and they get your Starbucks. And so you do it like that. And it's just so much fun. And my family hoops and hollers and whoops and carries on. So as the grandparents, that's our gift for the kids and the family are these gift cards in the game that we play after dinner on Christmas. And it's really just a blast. And this year I was asking, y'all want to do something different? You want to make, they're like, no, we want play the gift card game. You know, they just love it. And the younger the grandkids are, the better and the more fun it is. Our youngest ones are 13. So that's a game that we play, Grandma, that's a lot of fun. And you can do it with any denomination. I mean, you can do it with $5 gift cards, you know. It's just a fun, really fun, interactive exchange. People are screaming, I wanted Applebee's, you know. And it's really a hoot. Sounds we like do that. Okay, so Salvation Army. So I wanted to talk about the admin. Yeah, we got gobs of time. You guys, I wanted to talk about, so what matters to me so much when I donate, what matters to me so much is that the money I give is going for the cause I think I'm giving it to. Peter, I don't want to give $100 to Salvation Army and then $75 goes in the pocket of some admin gorgeous marble building and $25 goes to help our cause. And I understand Salvation Army's not really like that, Peter.
You know, Doris, I'm glad you brought that topic up, because one of the things that the Salvation Army is known for.
Yes.
And it's a part
Wait,
of.
Wait, hold it. Applause.
Okay. Is first, I'd like to say your donation will be used locally.
You know, it stays local?
It stays local.
Okay, even my dogs are barking now.
There you go. So they have a process, and it's a part of their DNA that when they receive donations, and even if you mail a donation in that goes to a process center in Arizona, the Army has a process that looks at what's the address of that donor, and that's the local Army unit will receive
the
donation.
So even if you mailed it to the main headquarters in D.C. or something,
it stays local, unless of course, Doris, you say I want to help out.
I want to help the flood in Florida or something.
Exactly.
But so otherwise, if I'm just given my annual $100 or something,
it stays local. And I'm thrilled that you want to give your annual $100. Annual donations, direct mail donations, are really important to so many of our local corps, being able to provide the meals they provide Monday through Friday, 360, well, all year, 52 weeks out of the year. Having safe places for people to come just to be in community. Being able to provide people that can volunteer to help their community. I mean, that's something that we sometimes don't talk about. But, you know, the Salvation Army having open doors so that people like you and I can help assist those that want assistance and are helping themselves is an important factor of our mission, too, I believe. And you asked a question about administrative expenses and overhead. And there's quite a bit of literature out there that has looked at the Salvation Army, and we consistently score very high in keeping our overhead low.
That's because we don't pay you guys.
Well, and that's so true. I mean, the important thing to remember, you may have heard Bridget talk about how her day doesn't end. When she's done with a community, her family are our students and the people and our alumni that still are with us and provide. So it is truly a ministry for our officers, and they're on 24/7.
Oh, my goodness.
So directly, I have seen literature that says our overhead is no more between, and I'm going to look to the lieutenant here to correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard numbers like either 83% or 84% or 87% of your donation goes directly to the program you're donating to. Now, Bridget, I'm looking to you to see if those numbers are in the ballpark.
That's what I was. I was under the impression about 10% came off the top for admin, and that is a very low number. I don't know how you do it, Bridget.
As I look around our office, you referred to large, beautiful marble buildings. If you've been in our building, that does not describe our building.
It ain't large, it ain't beautiful, and it ain't marble.
Yeah. So. Largely, we have outgrown our little building, but we do our best to turn it over for all of the different meetings. There isn't near enough space, but we are trying to make it last as long as we can. Rather than adding additional property, we're adding another student house on the property. So losing the backyard to make more space for more students to be able to live on property, which will save money to not have to do outside rent for apartments and rooms for students. We'll be able to house them. So we're always looking for ways to economize and maximize the resources that we have.
And you're getting another place on Old Sonoma Road?
So our Old Sonoma Road property, we signed the lease and had keys to it on October 1st.
Oh!
Currently, this class of students are living there.
How many does it house?
It will house up to 24.
Yeah.
Right now, there are 11 students living there.
That is the most exciting thing. To have a program that can take homeless through a culinary training institute, give them a job, you know, give them an access to life and to house them while they're in training. Oh my gosh, how can it be better than that?
So, and our goal with that facility is so that after they've graduated the program, they can begin to pay a reasonable rent. So
and not
that
be kicked
with,
out.
With a portion of that being saved for them so that when they are ready to move on a year or so later, they will have their damage deposit saved and ready to be sent to their new landlord when they sign a lease with someone else.
Wow.
Because especially when you're new to a career and you're coming in on the bottom rung, you need to work your way up.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So not only not having the stress of wondering where you're going to live when graduation happens, because we only have about 2 weeks between when one class comes in and the next class follows them. They, in the past, have had to move out of the housing. And so some have transitioned to Johnny A's, some have transitioned to other places. But not having our own plan for what happens to them has caused some stress. Because, you know, you don't know how much you're going to have
to have. You graduated the program, you have a brand new career, brand new job. Now where do I live?
Right.
Because you've got to be booted because we've got a new class of students coming in. So hopefully this will take some of the pressure off. And it's just been a joy to work with you through all this process, through the new unit you're adding to the property, as well as taking over the keys for Old Sonoma Road.
So knowing that that we can eliminate some stress, that students and alumni will stay connected to their Mentis caseworker and access some wraparound services, we know that that will help people continue to be successful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, Caesar, chime in on this conversation about how lean and mean this operation runs and what's going on.
So it's really exciting.
And you got to get right up here.
So it's really exciting to be a part of this. That's what the Salvation Army does. You know, the officers are so open to help us stay on track.
Yes.
You know, the importance for me, it is to be a part of something when you don't always feel like you can be a part of something. But there's so much room. The volunteer time, the being of service time makes a huge impact on the way we think. And Peter and I have met so much amazing people throughout this time that allows us to be us and to find out what we can provide to our community and to our church,
yes.
Which for me is the Salvation Army today. And I get to meet other church members that are involved in the community. And it's a huge impact for me and my family that the Salvation Army allows us to be who we are and to grow and find out who we are and where we belong. And so I'm involved in on Sunday services, and even it just doesn't stop Monday through Friday. It continues Saturday and Sunday. Just the other day, we were preparing for Thursday, coat hanging, and everybody was just excited. You know, we put on some music. We just made it fun. You know, we continue to make it fun where
oh,
we have.
Oh, that is so cool.
We have more to do on the weekends, and it's a good opportunity.
Now, where are you from?
I'm from South California. I grew up in the city of Monrovia, San Gabriel Valley areas.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, so that would really help you appreciate the small town vibe of Napa.
Yes.
Because coming from the big city hubbub. And yeah, and do you laugh when people complain about our traffic?
Yes.
I do. I laugh. People go, oh, my God, the traffic. steak. I'm like, shut up. I'm from L.A. Don't you ever talk to me about traffic. I'm from L.A. And, oh, my gosh, we're the fifth car in line at the red light. And that's somehow that's traffic. I'm just like, what? You have no idea. You know, we had to leave for work 2 hours before work, you know, because of traffic. Okay, so, Grandma, tell me. Grandma, where are you from?
Texas.
You're from where in Texas?
San Angelo, Texas.
Yeah, not Brussels sprout, Texas.
No way.
So what is your preparation right now for Thanksgiving dinner? Are you going to be doing something today, tomorrow, Wednesday?
Not until Thursday morning. I got everything ready. It's all ready to start cooking.
Wow. Oh, Thursday morning you go at it.
Yep.
Oh, man, I go at it Wednesday. I am just nuts on Wednesday getting ready for Thanksgiving. But I'm so excited to come and help at the Salvation Army Thursday morning because I'm not doing the dinner at my house this time. This time we're going to a girlfriend's house for Thanksgiving dinner and celebrate with her family. And so I'm doing appetizers. And I thought, well, that's a cakewalk. I'll come.
No, that's dessert.
That's dessert, yeah. So I thought, well, I'll just come and help you guys that morning and help get set up, and then we'll just be able to go home, make my appetizer tray, and just waltz in the door, and somebody else is cooking the stuffing. But then my husband said, but we don't have leftovers. And I said, yeah, we won't have leftovers. And my husband said, so you still have to cook a turkey. You're not getting out of it. You're not getting out of it, you know. So we're still going to do the turkey dinner, but I think we're going to do it Friday. All right. So, Dylan, what do you want to tell us? What thoughts and concerns do you have rolling around in your big old brain?
Well,
get real close.
Well, I wanted to promote my YouTube channel. Is that okay if I do that?
You do that.
Tomorrow I'm changing it to a vlog channel, so tomorrow search it up as Lucky Vlogs. I'm almost about to hit 400 subscribers.
Lucky, V-L-O-G?
S.
S. Where do you search for that?
On YouTube.
Okay, so I go on YouTube.
You can go to the search tab and search up Lucky and then Vlogs.
No space?
There's a space, yeah.
Okay, so Lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, space, V-L-O-G.
S. At the end, yeah.
V-L-O, and what is that?
It's like a blogging channel.
And what is a blog?
It's like where you vlog your daily life. You show what you do every day.
So what do you do every day?
Sit around and eat. And maybe I could show my bike rides and stuff, so.
So why do you have 400 subscribers? What are they watching? What if I go on that now? What am I going to see Dylan doing?
4 years of gaming.
4 years of gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Monopoly, checkers, chess.
No, like gaming, like games, like.
Well, those are games.
Minecraft, Roblox.
Those are games. What, Peter?
It's a generational thing, isn't it, Doris?
It's a generation thing.
It's a generational thing. What? I don't understand. What game? What?
Like video games.
Okay, here. Hold on.
I'm in between, so I'm going to help you. So
okay.
What they do is they play these video games, and they record themselves playing the video games and showing how to do the tricks, and here's something you can build on Minecraft and all of that. And then they upload, so Dylan would take that video of him playing the game and upload it to YouTube, and people, like my daughter goes on because she wants to find out secrets and tricks for building stuff or creative ideas for Minecraft, so she'll go search, hey, I want to find this idea in Minecraft. So she'll watch other people playing the game so that she can get ideas or tricks or secrets. Yeah,
that's how it is.
I know. My kids do it too. I don't understand. I say, if you want to play the game, just play it. Don't watch someone else play.
Okay, I'm just like, okay, we're changing subjects now. Yeah, we're going back to Salvation Army. All right. So, Salvation Army, tell me what you do for Christmas.
We do a little bit of everything for Christmas. Obviously, kettles are one of the things that we do. Kettles originated...
How much of your money comes from kettles? Half your budget, 25%, what? percent of your budget?
I would say maybe 10% or less.
Of your Napa budget.
That's
comes
right.
From the kettles.
And kettles are a really important part of the Salvation Army's tradition. It's what makes our Christmas Christmas. And it's a really important program. It involves the community. We have volunteers, like you had mentioned, Doris. So it's a great way of bringing the community into understanding what it is, our mission is, and who we serve. So it's a key part of our program in the holidays. But more importantly, Bridget manages a program called the Holiday Assistance Program.
What is that?
Well, maybe I'll let Bridget talk a little bit about that.
So the Holiday Assistance Program is a number of Napa nonprofits that come together under the Holiday Assistance Program, HAP, to work together to register families and to distribute services. So the food boxes come from the Napa Food Bank, Toys for Tots and the Salvation Army as well. We do toy drives and angel tags and those types of things. But all of those toys will end up together at the same warehouse for families to come and choose the gifts for their children.
Did you find a warehouse this year?
We did. We're back at the same space out at the airport.
Okay.
So we have an airport hangar. December 1st is when we're allowed to start bringing some things into it. And so things are starting to roll together, when the food will be delivered, when the toys will start to come in, when volunteers will be needed to tape boxes together to pack food. I mean, there's a lot of steps of things that need to happen. And again, on our Facebook page, there's a sign of genius if people want to come and assist us with preparing for distribution. Distribution is on the 21st of December for the families that have registered. They've all been given a specific appointment time, and they'll be met with a volunteer to shop with them. We need 50 volunteers an hour to continue to work with families. So there are lots and lots of spaces available to be able to. So you would be paired up with your family. You'd have their application, so you'd know what the age of the children are that you're shopping with them for. They obviously make the choices, but you're helping them find the correct tables and navigate the warehouse.
50 volunteers an hour.
What's the date again?
December 21st. It's a Saturday.
Dang, that's a lot. What time of the day is it to, like, go all day long?
It goes all day long. Yeah.
All day long.
Yeah.
So
the first volunteers come in about 8:30.
If you could work 3 to 5 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So if you were to go on the Sign Up Genius and you could work 3 hours, you'd click 3 1-hour slots to connect yourself for that.
If
you only have an hour, we're willing to work with you there too. We just, the more volunteers that we have, the more volunteer shoppers, the more efficient it is for the families, because then they're not waiting in line for the next volunteer to be available to them.
Right.
Because we do recognize that some people have to work on Saturdays. Some people have small children. They're not supposed to bring the children to the warehouse to help keep the magic. But they may have somebody watching their child somewhere else. So we try and get the families
in and out
as quickly as possible.
Sure. Right.
But with all of the goodies that they have signed up to pick up.
Oh, that is precious. Oh, my gosh. Grandma, have you ever been involved with the Salvation Army?
Not with the Salvation Army.
Yeah, so we have June Liebig with us. She's our surprise guest that Dylan brought, as Dylan's grandma. So what have you learned today about the Salvation Army that impresses you?
Well, I didn't know about the culinary thing. That was interesting. But I've always donated all my stuff to Salvation Army, so
it's always
been the Salvation Army that I'll call them up. They'll come. I say, everything on the front porch, pick up, and they do.
So see, you're supporting the Salvation Army in a kind of different way, unique and different way. Dylan, what have you learned about the Salvation Army today that you didn't already know?
Well, she kind of said everything I was going to say, like the culinary stuff that they do and the feasts that they do on Thursday.
Yeah, that's some great stuff, right? And you like to eat.
And then I like to go shop the next day.
So we should get you in as a volunteer. And then do the volunteers get to eat a dinner?
The volunteers get to eat as well. So if eating
Dylan,
is something that you're interested in, that might just be.
You need to come with me and Romero, and we'll volunteer and help get set up, and then we'll eat. Then you can leave there and go to grandma's house and eat again. Yeah. I think you'd actually be full on Thanksgiving. Yeah. Okay, well, we need to close. We're at the end of our time. And closing thoughts or comments? You got 5 seconds. Peter Juve.
Doris, thank you very much for hosting us and
allowing us
to talk a little bit about the mission of the Salvation Army.
I love it. Bridget.
Say volunteers are needed, and the Facebook page is the place to look and see what we're recruiting for. Bell ringers, obviously, but also Thanksgiving. We did hit our turkey goal. We're still looking for pies.
Okay, and Bridget, what's the name of your Facebook page?
I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say it's Salvation Army Napa.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Cesar, closing thought or comment?
It was an honor. Thank you so much, Doris. It was a pleasure again to have us on board with you. And prayer. A lot of prayer during this season.
So I wish you at home could see the bright, smiling faces. Everybody's just so upbeat and happy. What a blessing. Grandma, closing thoughts or comments?
Okay, this is off the subject, but I want to say it's nice to meet you. Finally, I get to... When I go to vote, I'll know who I'm voting for now.
Oh, there you go.
And I'm going to vote for you for mayor.
Thank you. Oh, I'm going to give you some applause for that. Okay, Dylan.
Well, one, we're finally getting some rain this week.
Yes.
Like tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday, we're supposed to get rain. Two, make sure you subscribe to me on YouTube. And three, thank you for having me.
You're welcome, Dylan.
Please let me do it again.
What a blessing. We need to sign off. I'm Doris Gentry, your host today. Talk So Kids, listen. What a blessing. What an honor to live and serve and work in Napa. Woohoo! Hang on, guys. We're going to start the regular programming.